I think there we go.
All right, we're ready. You ready to rock and roll?
All right. Yeah, let's do this. Let's do this. All right, I'm going to call this meeting to order at 4.02 p.m. I'll do a roll call. Dana Franklin is here. Kelly Wiley?
Here.
Steve Ferry?
I am present.
All righty. Thank you. All board members are a present. Do we have a motion on the table to approve our agenda for today?
So moved.
Thank you, Steve. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
All right. Thanks, Kelly. I'll go for roll call vote. I vote aye. Kelly?
Aye.
And Steve?
I vote aye.
All right. We, let's see, it's going to take us down to three public comments closed session. Hearing none. Can I get a motion to adjourn to closed session?
So moved, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. And a call for vote. I vote aye. Kelly?
Aye.
And Steve?
I vote aye.
All right. So we are going to... go to closed session, and everyone should have the number.
Yeah, we have make sure you mute on your end. We're going to have another layer of shootout. Lori's going to go ahead and mute on her end. So.
All righty.
See you closer.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello again, this is David.
Good.
We are back.
We are.
Did you pick you up, Kelly?
This is Kelly.
Steve, are you there?
I am here, yes sir.
All right, fantastic. Okay, I think we're all back in here, so... No action was taken on anything closed session with anticipated litigation. So, I'd like to go to item 7, Pledge of Allegiance. So, if you can, please stand with me and take the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, begin.
Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. Public comments, recognitions, and reports. All right. Hearing none, that'll take us to number 9.1, program update.
Yeah. Thank you so much, David and Kelly. Nice to have you join us. Steve, it's always... pleasant to have you finish the day with this team, and we are honored to have Erica Zimmer. She works hand in hand with Christine Pierre, and she's going to finish this today. And Erica, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you for a program update.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Kurt. Good afternoon, board members, Superintendent Peterson. Thank you so much for having me today. We currently have 246 students enrolled in the program, and that includes 84 homeschool students. That is an increase of 20 students from last month. So there is no slowing the school down. We keep forging ahead, which is really crazy and unbelievable because I'm pretty sure Christine and I over the summer thought, well, if we have 100 students in the program, that, you know, that will feel pretty good. So now we're 1.5 times that and continuing to grow. So it feels great. I'm really proud of what our school and what our program is accomplishing. Attendance and engagement is at an all-time high, and I attribute that to Ms. Erin Reinberg, our homeschool coordinator, and our fantastic teachers. We really do have top-notch educators who are just really adept at getting to know their students and using different types of interventions and engagement to really support student academic success. So we are thrilled about that. We're doing some really fun things when it comes to engagement. Like I said, our teachers are really innovative and creative. We just initiated some K-6 makerspace events. So that's a really cool time where that's a virtual as well, where the students are challenged with creating, using critical thinking skills to construct a design. So that's fun. We've engaged in field trips. We had an art field trip to Artiscape field trip on the 20th, and that was for printmaking. So we had the students participate in that. That was really neat. One of the really fun things that we did recently was celebrate all the academic achievement from the first semester. So we call that kind of a play on words, kind of a play on the honor roll theme, as we call it, on a roll. So we celebrate not only students who achieved the regular and high honor roll, but also celebrated students who were nominated by their teachers for just overcoming adversity, continuing to persevere. You know, some of those things that we look for in our, you know, student learner outcomes. So we were able to do a lot of celebrating students recently. So I think one of the biggest highlights is our WASC update. So we are thrilled to say that we're recommended for WASC accreditation. The visiting committee had some wonderful commendations about our program. They reported that, sorry, I'm just going to switch over to this report. They said a lot of wonderful things, such as our school has developed a strong mission and vision. Teachers and staff are highly committed to both academic and social-emotional success of students. That a variety of individualized standards aligned and rigorous curriculum is being offered. Our school has data collection processes in place, and data is made readily available for teachers to measure student achievement and development. And the school maintains operational and fiscal stability. So we were really pleased with the positive commendations that the team had to share with us in that area. Four areas of continued growth were identified as continuing to provide local assessments and targeted interventions to support student achievement, to continue to monitor achievement for student populations such as socioeconomically disadvantaged students, foster youth, English learners, and students with disabilities. Three, to continue to provide professional development and ongoing trainings and discussion on student and academic achievement and data to inform instruction. And the fourth one, to ensure the homeschool program continues to implement strategies that ensure continued standards alignment curriculum, which can include service vendors, digital curriculum, and supplemental curriculum. So, yeah, we're thrilled about that and excited to move forward and include those things in our new LCAP planning and really dig in and kind of look at what we can do program-wide to continue to improve and look at continuous growth in those areas. Parent engagement, we continue to, you know, send out articles and hold meetings with parents and I think, and staff as well, we have some, you know, we do monthly meetings and we've, in addition to our staff meetings, we've tried to also equip our team with additional articles. Edmentum has a really awesome website where they do articles for education and teachers. So we've looked at a lot of, you know, relationships in the virtual environment and how establishing relationships can really engage students and trauma, how students who are struggling with trauma, how that can impact access to their education. So we're I feel like we're doing all the things. It's going well.
Awesome. Great. Thank you so much, Erica, for the report. Any questions or comments, board members? Kelly, start with you.
That's an amazing report and work. Thank you. And Again, just huge kudos for the WASC accreditation moving as quickly as it did. That is no small feat. So just want to make the acknowledgement and say thank you.
Thank you.
Steve?
Erica, thank you so much for the fabulous report. I could tell you're excited by the energy in your voice. So I am just so pleased at the direction everything's going in. And, boy, you never thought it would go this quick, did you, when you started it out? Now, look at the enrollment. So congratulations, and having locked on the table soon is just another feather in the cap. So just a big thank you for you, Christine, and all the staff. Much appreciation.
Oh, thank you very much.
And I just wanted to kind of echo the same thing, but also, you know, one of the points that I picked up on, which I really liked, was, you know, how you're recognizing students, and not just the students who kind of always are getting, you know, the high grades, but also, you know, having, you know, students being nominated by their teachers, because you know that not every kid, you know, all the time is going to be able to get those high marks, but, you know, all kids should be recognized for their efforts. And so really glad to hear that we're doing a good job with that. So just overall, thank you so much for your hard work and for this fantastic update.
Oh, thank you.
All righty. Kurt, we'll maybe head it over to you for 9.2.
Yeah, thank you, David. You know, it's always nice to get correspondence from Guerndal, and I have a letter here in front of me. It's from Cherie. And she's the new CBO, and I don't know how Dana does it, but she always tends to attract a high-quality group to work around her. And the letter really talks about our first interim financial report, and going back to our conservative projections, we figured there were going to be 90 students. I think we came up with the first interim, there were 186, and as Erica reported, we now have 246. But the good news is that the board, or Cherie, is acknowledging the status, our financial status. It's very consistent. It's also the positive certification, so we're in good shape there. And again, a few suggestions on things that we can do a little bit better, but overall, very, very pleased with the first interim. And I think, Cherie, if you're on this call, Dana will be there also to hear the good news that second interim looks even better. So thank you.
All right. Thanks, Kurt. Any comments, board members?
No, I'm good, David. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
No, I'm good. Thanks.
Thanks. And it seems like 9.3 was covered in our program updates with our WASC accreditation. So I think we're good with 9.3. Okay. We'll head on to our consent calendar. An agenda. Can I get an approval of our consent calendar, which is 10.1 down to 10.7?
So moved. Steve?
Thank you, Steve. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Kelly. I'll call for the vote. I vote aye. Kelly?
Aye.
Steve?
Steve votes aye.
Alrighty, thank you. It takes us to 11.1, approval of the formation of a charter services organization. Do I have a motion on the table?
So moved, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Kelly, Kurt, we'll throw it over to you.
Yeah, thank you so much, board members. And this has been an incredible journey over the past 7 months that we've had a lot of dialogue, a lot of collaboration. I think we've had five study sessions and a lot of work with our leadership team, our cabinet, and just continue to refine kind of our vision of what we wanted. So at the end of the day, we looked at our options. We thought the CSO, the Charter Services Organization, is the way to go. We'd like to launch this on July 1st. When we look at the fiscal impact, we know that to start this up, we're asking each of the nonprofits to pay $5,000, and then when we look at a services agreement, we know monthly that we will provide those services. But we're looking at a range of about 6 to 7%. And through this process, probably one of the most difficult items we had to consider is who might be this person, meaning the CEO of the CSO. And lo and behold, after an international search, it landed right in our lap. And I think, David Franklin, you might be considered for this position.
That That's wonderful.
Yeah. But it's going to be tough. There's big shoes to fill now on this board, but we're going to somehow do it. So, hey, great process. We're excited. It's a new venture for us. But every person we talk to, they were thumbs up. This is a really, really good way to go.
All righty. Thank you very much. Any additional questions, board members?
No, I just want to pipe in on something. Our last study, Seth and David, and just how much the whole group appreciates you and your background and pedigree and everything. And when your name was mentioned, everyone's head went up and down. Yes, that's such a great choice. So we're just really so pleased with that direction.
Wow. Thank you so much. Can I call you every day and be told that?
Yeah, I'm good at pumping people up anytime.
There we go. Fantastic. I'm going to take you up on that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I want to echo that and just say congratulations. There's also a little bit of a proud mama moment just because have been on this journey with you from, you know, very early on in your leadership career. So a little bit of a proud mama moment there, too.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. All right. Well, we still do have to get the vote in on it, so I will call for the vote. Let's not be premature, but I'll vote aye. Kelly?
Aye.
And Steve?
Steve votes aye.
All right. Thank you. It passes unanimously. 11.2, approval of the second interim financial report. Do I have a motion on the table?
So moved, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Seconded?
I'll second.
Thank you, Kelly. Kurt?
Yeah, as I just mentioned, the first year of any new school, is we want to be very, very conservative, and I think we came out in good shape with the first interim, but I think it's even even better now with second interim. So I know Carl Yoder is, no matter what, if he's on an airplane, a train, a bus, he jumps off and says, hey, I'm on this call right now. So, Carl, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Hi, Kurt. Thank you. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
You're good.
Yes.
Okay. And, yeah, I am in an airport at the moment. So during its first year, and should I refer to it as NorCal or CalPAC, or what's the best way to refer to the school at this
point? I would go with California Pacific Charter School.
Okay.
Is it to go to Sonoma?
So California Pacific Charter School's DAC Sonoma did very well its first year. On revenues of $1.8 million, it generated a surplus of $131,000. It has an adjusted beginning balance. That's an adjustment to take into account CalPAC's existing students, existing Track A monies. We'll be returning to the board with an allocation of that, how that adjusted beginning balance is calculated. But the short version is that on the surplus of $131,000 added to the beginning balance, you end up with $765,000 at the end of the year, which is a 45% reserve level. And that puts California Pacific Sonoma in a good position for future expansion in the next couple of years, as it seems that there's a lot of market demand in that area. So I'd say, in general, the school's doing very well, had a very good first year, and is well positioned for growth in the next couple of years. And I'll turn it over for questions.
All righty, thank you. Board members, questions? Kelly, I'll start with you.
No questions. Just appreciate your update.
Thank you.
Steve?
Carl, you're the best. This question pops up all the time. With that 45%, when does the bell go off? Because I know we talk about this quite a bit for excess surplus, or at this early stage, does it matter?
Really, the key is for the non-classroom-based schools like this, it will be making sure that you don't have any particular year with too large of a surplus, if that's the year where you're going through what's called the funding determination process. But aside from that, in terms of what level of reserves is just seen as too high, I think you'd have to get into the 70 to 80% range before questions started being asked. So I actually think 30 to 50% is a really good range to be in. It provides you some safety without raising some eyebrows.
Great. Fantastic. Thank you.
And I just want to add, thank you for just the detailed reports and, the confidence, that I know that we have in you and in this process has just been uplifted so much by the work you do. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. I'll call for a vote. I vote aye. Kelly?
Yeah.
Aye.
Yeah.
Okay.
I vote aye.
All right, it passes unanimously. 11.3, approval of special education testing materials, California Pacific Charter Schools. Do I have a motion on the table?
So moved, Steve.
Second?
I'll second.
Thank you. And Kurt, I'll throw it over to you.
Yeah, on this item here, just board members, for your backup, as my cabinet, as we continue to always refine everything that we do, we notice that we want to make sure on the backup we're acknowledging this is a slight revision. And really, it's the approval is the same. We need some special education testing materials, but what we really need is to have you know the background information, the CalPAC. They need to purchase some materials for their special education, team, and what they're going to be doing is doing some administering some special education testing. We've got the program specialists and school psychologists. They're going to have primary access to the materials. As we look at the fiscal impact, keep in mind it does say $6,000, but that's going to actually be split between the, all three California Pacific Charter Schools.
All right. Thanks, Kurt. Board members, any questions? Kelly?
No questions at this time.
Steve?
Well, good. Thank you, Dave.
All right. Thank you. I'll call for a vote. I vote aye. Kelly?
Aye.
And Steve?
I vote aye.
Thank you so much. 11.4, approval to engage and consider a consulting agreement with Capital Advisors Group, LLC. Do I have a motion on the table?
So moved, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Kurt?
Yeah, I am on the phone, Kurt.
Yeah. Very good. Kevin Gordon is in the batter's box. Let me do a brief introduction. It's really kind of a surreal moment. Kevin, we were talking before you came back on that, over the years, just interfacing with you and learning more about, the politics and policy and finance and legislative strategy, that we're now in a great position to add more strength to our team. We know we're only as good as our network, but we know that you and your entire group there as Capital Advisors, you are definitely the gold standard. That's the way we want to work. And I know that if I looked at things we use right now in everyday life, if it's a Google Map or a Waze or whatever, Google, we've got it right here, right now. So, Kevin, no pressure, but I'm going to turn it over to you.
Yes, no, I appreciate that. And I know we've gotten a chance to visit with some of the board members earlier, but Kelly, for your benefit, our firm is, one of our clients, we represent hundreds of districts around the state and 31 different county offices of ed, and Santa Clara is one of them. As you may know, we work well closely with Mary Ann and the cabinet. So, but one of the things that's interesting is that the overwhelming majority of our clients are, public school agencies, districts and county offices of education primarily. And we have, to my knowledge, almost no charter schools. And it's for a reason, and that is that oftentimes some of the charter schools are put in a situation with some of the districts that we represent where, we need to be able to attest to the veracity of the charter we're working for. We need to be very happy and familiar with all of the leadership that are in the charters and have some familiarity with the programs that they're running. And Kurt and I have had a number of conversations now where we've really gotten comfortable with what you guys are doing, and especially just our own knowledge of him. He's reviewed with us, the members of your board, the credentials that you guys all have. It's so clear that you guys are really, really committed to what is teaching and learning and trying to, really provide a quality program for the students that you're serving. So what this whole sort of proposition is about is becoming part of your strategic team in looking at and kind of preparing for an environment we know that's extremely hostile politically up in Sacramento and across the state politically toward charters. You've got a team and Capital Advisors who have a pretty good track record of experience in the charter school field. I was real involved with writing the original legislation for charter schools with Gary Hart, was a big advocate. I was the chief lobbyist, interestingly, for CSBA. We were the only statewide association that supported Gary's bill, and partly because we were involved with writing it. And it was just a lot of other people just had a lot of fear and didn't understand what the promise of charters might bring. And then the other founding partner of our firm, Jack O'Connell, is, you know, pretty unquestionably the only state superintendent who's been very supportive of charter schools. He was very, very close to Reed Hastings during his tenure as superintendent while Reed was president of the state board, and just has a different view about charters that's much more aligned with where you guys are than a lot of the ed community today and our past two state superintendents our current state superintendent and the prior state superintendent who have not been all that friendly toward charters. So it's a key of being able to be affiliated with you guys in a way that gives you an organization that is extremely well recognized and respected across the K-12 community politically from a policy standpoint and on finance. And all of those, you know, that resources and expertise to be part of your strategic team and thinking about what are the threats and opportunities that you guys need to look at to make basically you prepared for things that might be a trouble spot, or more importantly, the things that are going to be opportunities for you to grow. And so that's what the engagement is about. We've talked about doing it just for 6 months. We have, once we get past that point, it's a 30-day out, so you guys are going to be thinking about, is this worth us doing business with these guys? And if there ever comes a point where you don't feel like there's a return on investment in terms of the information and the expertise that we bring, then we don't want you to have to feel like you're burdened by a contract with us. So we don't do 1 year, 2 year contracts. We don't do that. We'll do a 6 month sort of trial run. And then after that point, it's literally, a 30 day notice that either party can give. And then we go our separate ways, or like so many of our clients, it's an ongoing relationship, which we hope that we will mutually be really happy with this relationship and we'll be able to work together for a long time. So I'm going to shut up there and see if you guys have any questions.
All right. Thanks so much. Kelly, any questions?
No, I don't have any questions. And I'm quite familiar with the history of the company, so I have a lot of confidence.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Steve, anything from you?
No, just just recap what I said earlier. I had an opportunity with Kev when I was at County Schools in San Diego, Student Support Services. We did a lot of work, and we could not get a better organization and a better person than Kevin to work with us. And I'm just honored that they're going to be partners with us. So thank you so much. And it's really a feather and you know, our cap to have someone this organization of this caliber. So once again, welcome aboard, Kevin. Thank you.
No, it's a pleasure to be joining you guys.
Yeah, and I just want to echo that. Like as I said earlier today, I was impressed when I saw, looking through and who's, a partner within this organization. And just, I'm excited to work alongside you and to learn and to move forward. So thank you for your services. With that, I will call for...
Real quick.
No,
I'm sorry. I wanted Kevin to get through, all the information regarding this consulting agreement. From a fiscal standpoint, we thought the best thing to do is actually divide it among all five nonprofits. So the fiscal impact for California Pacific Charter School, Gastonoma, will be $1,000 per month, and that will go every month for the entire 6 months.
Okay. As long as there's no other questions, I will go ahead and call for the vote. I vote aye. Kelly?
Aye.
And Steve?
Steve, vote aye.
Thank you. Passes unanimously. 12.1, approval of board policies personnel series. Do I have a motion?
So moved. Steve?
Thank you. Can I get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Kurt?
Yeah, it's always nice to be working with someone, again, at that caliber of Corey Amador, who always does sensational work, and she has some updates here and she'll present information about our personnel series. So Corey, I will turn it over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Board of Directors. We have four policies for your consideration. Two of those are just an edit to them. The first is the unlawful harassment, discrimination, and retaliation policy. The policy is being updated to notate the supervisors are required to have 2 hours of training every 2 years for sexual harassment, as well as 1 hour of training every 2 years for all of the rest of our staff. I will tell you, we already implemented this starting with the school year, so that's already in place, but we do want to make sure that the policy reflects our practice and is current in alignment with the new state law. Additionally, the equal employment opportunity policy is being brought back to you for a revision, expanding the term race to include references to traits historically associated with race. So again, the policy has already been approved. We're just asking you to approve this minor edit. We're bringing forward to you for consideration the remote work policy. This policy firms up basically our practice, and it spells out whether or not a position's duties are eligible for remote work, whether the employee who is being assigned to those duties would be eligible for remote work. It puts into a plan the opportunity for the supervisor and the employee to communicate. So whether that would be on a daily basis check-in or a weekly check-in, it would ensure that the employee understands that even while they're working remotely, they are required to abide by the policies and procedures outlined by the board as well as in our employee handbook. So for example, a non-exempt employee must adhere to their work hours and continue to complete their time cards, whether they're working in the administrative office or in a remote office setting. Additionally, the remote work policy includes a safety checklist, where a supervisor would be able to see if the employee has a safe work environment, whether that would be an in-person meeting where they would actually observe the employee's workspace, or if it would be pictures of the employee's workspace that would be sent along with the safety checklist. It also contemplates where we might have to have some reasonable accommodation meetings and provide either some type of device that may be needed for that remote office. But it puts the onus on all others to provide their own safe work environment. So once the plan is submitted by the employee, it can be approved by the supervisor, and then from there, it does notify the employee that it can be rescinded at any time at the discretion of the director if they feel that there is a business need to rescind or revoke the remote work plan. And then the last policy is our mileage reimbursement policy. So again, firming up in a policy what we are already doing in practice, and that is that we do reimburse employees for their expenses, particularly when it comes to their mileage, that we adhere to the IRS approved rate on an annual basis. And then it also establishes in this policy a reasonable commute. So for that first trip out and the last trip where they may be returning home, there would be 30 miles, up to 30 miles, that would not be reimbursable because we would consider that to be reasonable commute. However, any stops that are made in between or if the first trip or last trip exceeds 30 miles, all those miles would be considered reimbursable. We will be updating our expense reimbursement form with those instructions, so it'll be clear to employees that how to complete the form going forward, and then also getting that communication out to staff following the board's approval of this policy. Are there any questions about the policies as they've been submitted?
I think I'm good. Kelly, I know this is the first time you're hearing this in a meeting, so any questions, Kelly?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you. Steve, anything from you?
No, this is great. This is really, I'm Corey, thank you so much. It's very interesting to me, this aspect of it. And I have a question. I didn't say this last, but I was kind of wondering, because this is sort of new territory for me. You know, we talk about the remote work policy and people working. How is that working? Is it something that it's very new to me that people are doing that, but it's the new world we're in. Is that, how's that working?
Well, for the most part, if you think about it in terms of percentages of staff, the majority of our staff are in our teachers, and they are working remotely, and that has been working very effectively. That is our model. So the teacher has to be able to be productive and effective in that remote work environment. where we have some variables looking more along the lines of our classified employees and whether or not the duties are amenable to working from a home office or a remote office as opposed to coming into an administrative office every day. And what we're finding is we have incredible employees, and they have a high level of personal accountability and integrity, and we are able to allow this as basically a bonus or a benefit to them to be able to modify their work week so that they have some time in an administrative office and sometimes from home, for example. But by putting this policy in place, it gives the supervisor the ability to have an action plan in the event that that is no longer successful. Then they would be able to fall back on this policy and be able to engage the employee to either attempt to remedy whatever the issues may have been, or let the employee know that it's no longer successful, and so that they need to return to a routine of Monday through Friday in an administrative office.
Great. So if you're the worker, it's not going to be working. That's the idea. And the other thing is, when we're talking policy, I mentioned this last on one of the last meetings, that and talk about the virus and adopting policies. Because I know you've been doing a great job educating staff and along those lines. And I'm wondering if at some point in time we as a board need to even adopt anything and put it on the webpage, the policies, how we're dealing with it, or is it just enough to do what we're doing?
It's not a bad idea, certainly. I will share in this meeting that we have been communicating on a daily basis almost over the last few weeks in regards to the coronavirus and with flu, cold, et cetera, just transmission of illness. So we have a variety of responses occurring across our nonprofit. So in some instances, based on the model, communication is going out to staff or to families. In others, they're taking a little bit of a different approach, but we are making sure to talk to each other on a daily basis to see as it develops, to make sure that we are staying with, aligning ourselves with what the CDE's recommendations are in our county office of ed to make sure that we're putting information out accurately. We did receive some new information today from CSDC that I haven't had an opportunity to thoroughly review, and that was their recommendation to charter schools, so it's certainly something that we will continue to monitor, and I would defer to Kurt if we do think that there's something that the board would need to take action on prior to our sending out some communication or having some type of policy, we'll certainly come back to you on that.
Right, yeah, I just follow board with CDE in partnership with the Department of Public Health really had a nice section on the CDE webpage leading off with that. So that's just for, put one in the hip pocket for your own information. So, again, Corey, thank you so much. You're really a detail-oriented person. I really can't tell how much I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All righty. Thank you so much. I'm going to call for the vote. I vote aye. Kelly?
Aye.
Steve?
Steve votes aye.
All right. It passes unanimously. Our next scheduled meeting will be held virtually on April 16th. Board comments? Steve?
No, just thanks very much for all the work. It's a really team effort, and Carl, I feel such great, confident hands with him, and Kevin coming aboard is really a marquee item for us. And thanks again, Corey, for all your work behind the scenes, and as always, Kurt, for your constant communication. It makes me feel better because sometimes old guys have to hear things more than once, so it's really helpful for me. And again, all my thanks.
Alrighty, Kelly, your comments.
No comments other than, gratitude for the hard work that everybody's doing and appreciation for everyone.
And I just want to echo that. Thank you to everyone for their hard work. Just really excited about, this particular charter, moving forward here with our enrollment and programs and just doubles on everyone. So thank you. Kurt, your comments.
Yeah, I want to echo everything that board members have shared, and as we were engaged in just an informal conversation before the board meeting. It was a great visit last week. It's good to touch base with Aaron and the team there in Guerneville and get on Dana's campus, and it's nice to hear that you might be getting some rain in the next couple of days. That was very evident, but we had a very, robust collaboration, a great working lunch right there in Guerneville.
And then on Friday, had a super experience at the Sonoma County Charter CEO Council. Always beneficial to be there. And then Saturday, I was out in the community and doing a few things. And lo and behold, I think I might have found a potential board member for TPCS. This lives literally down the street from Burnville. So we'll keep you posted on that. But again, job well done. Everyone's working very hard and just pleased with everything that's going on to serve our students up in Sonoma and the contiguous county.
All righty, thank you. Can I get a call for adjournment, please?
So we'll see.
Can we get a second?
I'll second.
All righty, I'll call for a vote. I vote aye. Kelly?
Aye.
Steve?
I vote aye.
All right, we are adjourned at 5:02. Thanks, everyone. Have a great evening.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You. Bye-bye.
Great job, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.